gospel soul. Breaking the yoke of bondage through the power of the word of God. Join Pastor Jackson and friends as we rightly divide the word of truth. You can find My Gospel Soul on Facebook, Twitter, but you can also find me, Denise Jackson, on Facebook and Twitter as well. Now, keep up with us also on the Denise Jackson Ministry website. That's at www.denisejacksonministry.yolasite.com. And remember, with God, all things are possible.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. It's none other than your host, Pastor Jay, coming to you live from Houston, Texas. May God be the Lord for the great things that He has done. Yay or nay? All right, let's get this show started with a little bit of music by your very own Pastor Jay. The song that's coming to you is, let's see. Global Gospel saying Breathe right here. Oh my God.
Mind in motion, sit back, relax, give thought to this notion. Go breathe, little homie, in the midst of your ocean. Take it one step at a time when them walls is closing. You can be called and not chosen, strategize your race. As long as you make it in, you ain't gotta be first place. Stop running out of breath, ain't no shortage on air. Stop letting this world pressure you, it's worst nightmare. We feeling like Ric Flair, we refuse to fold. We standing firm on his word, y'all, all 10 toes. Ain't born now, ho, we done faced them all. Gotta breathe till you lose grip, resist till you fall. And when you're back against that wall, take one deep breath. Process, been released, watch you order your step. It takes endurance in this thing, it's not speed or strength. Give thought to technique, watch how your time is spent, huh?
Just be ready to breathe when you jump in that seat. Now breathe, homie, breathe.
Come on.
my gospel soul, that was Global Gospel, Stacey Williams saying, breathe, right here on My Gospel Soul. Today we have a special show. I got a special guest who's going to be calling in today, my Apostle Anita Smith, calling, and we'll be having a good time talking about the goodness of the Lord. And let me tell you something, if any person can tell of his goodness, it is my apostle. I love when she say, tell him thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In just a few minutes, we're going to let you know what's going on in your weather. I just want to stop and take time just to say, how are you? You know, how are you feeling? What's going on? What you been up to? All that good stuff. Now, just got off my sister's United show to My Doctor Soul Production. Yes, it is. And we talked on the topic of, can a woman have it all? Can she have it all? You know, school, love, business. I mean, you know, can she have it all? Husband, all that kind of stuff. And still have a business, still go to school, still do all these different things. And we came to the conclusion with balance. If you're in a relationship, compromise, all these good things. So anyway, that's what we talked about. So what I do is just throw a couple of things out there that we went over. And, well, it's okay. I get it. Okay. Yeah. And so what we went over, and my daughters are here, maybe they'll say something about it. Do y'all believe that y'all can have it all?
Yes.
I know that's right.
I believe that if you put the work forth, I believe that if you put the work forth towards what you want and what you want to earn, then you can have that. And once you finish establishing yourself, you actually find that one person that's on the same level with you and have the same things as you, y'all be able to build together.
Oh, my God. What you got to say about it, Simone?
I second that.
I second that emotion. Listen. What my daughter just said hits the nail, boom, on the head. Because the bottom line is you have to have balance. But one of the first things you have to do if you want to talk about going into a relationship, you got to make sure you get in a relationship with the right person. You know, not everybody you attach yourself to is the right person. Come on. Sometimes you attach yourself to a person that can't handle you being successful. You know, they can't handle it. Why? Because they're jealous. There's things that they want to do that they haven't done. And, you know, or they just generally like you at one level. And if you go any higher, they can't deal with you. So what you have to do is you have to make sure that you are with the right person. Because what will happen is they'll sabotage everything you do. Even if you are a person that has built, you know, God has blessed you to walk in certain doors and have given you favor and all these different things, you got to understand when it's a trick of the enemy as well. Yes, the enemy will send somebody that at that moment they become everything you wanted and asked for and prayed for, and the next thing you know, they're sabotaged. Why? Because you did not seek God's face on that relationship. And some people feel like because they are in the church and that person said that God said you're my wife or God said we're supposed to be together, you fall for it. But it is possible in the church that you can meet somebody in the same church and be unequally yoked. Say, how is that? Because it's not just about serving the same God. It's about being on the same page. It's about going the same direction. You could be going left, and they could be going right, and you have married somebody that's working against you, male or female, however you want to do it. If it's a man looking for a woman, a woman looking for a man, however it is, you got to make sure that you are able, you are compatible, and you can go the same direction. Because you know the worst thing you can do is get attached to somebody that's constantly going against what you believe and the direction that you're going. It's going to be miserable. So you got to have balance. Let's look at another point that someone made. You got to be a good steward. You got to be a good steward over money and time, and a good steward over a person that God placed in your life. Let's look at a good steward over money.
If you are a person that just spend, your money can't stay in your hands like you got a hole in your pocket, you're not a good steward. You got to learn to save. You got, like my mama used to say, you got to eat tomorrow. So you got to be putting aside money so when the storm hit, you ain't sitting there saying, I wish I would have put some canned goods in here. Now I got to figure out how I'm going to eat. And you started it. So in other words, you got to use wisdom. Time management. Oh, my Lord. One of the things when people are trying to have it all, you're trying to run a business, some things go lacking if you don't plan and have balance and if you don't work with your partner. Some of us don't like to work with our partner. We think that our partner is on our agenda, and we forget that this is supposed to be two people going in a direction together. So when you get in this place, okay, you got to stop and say, am I neglecting my mate? Am I neglecting my children? Am I neglecting my family? You got to make sure you balance it all out. When you're planning your week out, make sure that you say Monday is for this, or Monday is from 9 to 5 is work hours. After that, no work, got to focus on family. You have to be a steward over your time. If you do not, something will go neglected, and you don't want it to be your spouse, because if you won't talk to your spouse, there is somebody that will. I'm just saying. Did I throw it out there? Yes, I did. Don't give an occasion to sin. That's in the Word of God. Here we go. Another thing that said about don't be selfish. Everything is not about you. Some of us are so selfish and self-centered till, again, in a relationship, you try to achieve your goal, you going forward, and that person say, I want time with you. First thing you say is you being selfish, you know I'm trying to get this done. Of course they're being selfish. You know, God created man with a little ounce of selfishness. Why do I say, oh, Pastor, that ain't biblical? Yes, it is. He said that when a woman married the man, that her desires would be to please the husband, and said that when the husband married the wife, that his desire would be to please the wife. So that's selfish. He's selfish with you, you know, because his desires are towards you. Her desires are towards, so he had to put the man with a little ounce of selfishness. If he didn't, he wouldn't care nothing about you. I'm just saying. He told the man, he said, love her like you love yourself. You wouldn't harm yourself, so why would you harm her? Now, that's how you know you're in a real spiritual relationship with your mate. When they are living it the way God said live it. And some of them need the manual of the Bible to live that way, but some folk is just in them to love you more than they love themselves. Because guess what? If they love you, I'm going into a little Bible study with you. If you love them more than you love yourself, they're going to love you more than to come up. It'll balance itself out. My attention is supposed to be more on my husband, and my husband's attention is supposed to be on me. Guess what? And guess what? He don't go lacking and I don't go lacking. Why? Because there we are. That what it say, three-quart strand is not easily broken. He has me, I have him, and we both got God. How about that? All right, so those are some of the things we went over. I know that's powerful. Somebody write notes right now. Planning. Make sure you're with the right person. Make sure it's balanced. Make sure you have time management. Make sure you're not selfish. And make sure you use wisdom when it comes to money, because you got to eat tomorrow. You're listening to my gospel song. We just want to bless your life today. Make your life a little bit easier with just some helpful hints on how to govern it, especially through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to keep this show on the road. Like I said, I'm going to share the weather with you, you know. Houston is fickle. Let me tell you something. You can't get excited about weather here in Houston, because if you get excited about it, it will disappoint you. You'll wake up and it's freezing cold. By 12 noon, it's raining. And then by 8 o'clock at night, it is hot, hot, hot. So just I'm just going to let you know what it says is going down with your weather. I don't want you to, don't get mad at me. You know, I don't have nothing to do with it. Houston is just in a funny part of the country. That's all I'm going to say.
and we get some crazy, crazy weather. And y'all know Houston always has the potential to be a ditch, a lake, if it rains a little too hard or a little too long. Guess what? If you can't swim, you're going to have to be on a rooftop somewhere. That's all I'm saying. Just trying to help you out. All right, let's look at the weather. What it says, it's mostly sunny today. If you're out there, you already know. Highs in the upper 80s, northeast winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy. Lows around 70, northeast winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. For Thursday, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers in the morning, then mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 80s, northeast winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. For Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows in the lower 70s, northeast winds, 10 to 15 miles per hour, with gusts to around 30 miles per hour. Y'all like how to say it? Gusts. Friday, y'all know y'all like to say thank God it's Friday. Don't celebrate too quick. It's going to be cloudy, showers, and thunderstorms likely in the morning. It's going to start off the day with a little rain. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Breezy. Highs in the lower 80s, north winds, 15 to 25 miles per hour. The chance of rain is at 60% in the morning, decreasing to 50% in the afternoon. And for Friday night, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows in the upper 60s. You're listening to My Gospel Soul, where we are breaking the yoke of bondage through the power of the Word of God. This is to a little bit of your very own host, Pastor Jay, saying, Najee, will you join me right here on My Gospel?
Oh, spreading your gospel, but is it the truth? Judging people high and low out of self-righteousness. Jesus said, don't judge no one when your stuff is a mess. Live for real.
Live for real.
If there's a change in your life, you need to live for real.
Live it for real.
Live for real.
Live it for real.
If there's a change in your life, you need to live for real.
Live it for real.
You're always on the phone with other itchy ears, telling folks business while yours is in the clear. My God, he sits high and he looks low. You'll see more blessings when you hang up the phone. Live for real.
Live for real.
If there's a change in your life, you need to live for real.
Live it for real.
Live for real.
Live it for real.
If there's a change in your life, you need to live for real.
Live it for real.
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Pastor Jake. I just want to share a little bit out of Dr. Cindy Trim's book, The Rules of Engagement, The Art of Strategic Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. Now, ran across this reading, I said I want to share, because it one of the things that we need to start with when we begin to study about breaking habits and mindsets is one of the things we need to start with learning is about the battlefield of the mind. Staking claim over the battlefield of the mind, which is a part in the in chapter 4. It's called The Battlefield of the Mind. And I know you have read books by Joyce Meyer and stuff like that about the battlefield of the mind. And so I thought it appropriate to share this little bit that I was, because I pick up my books often, reread, look up different things. And we'll be going into, like her book states, launching counterattacks against some of these things. But I want to first start off reading this. Well, that chapter is chapter 6. It's called Weapon of Mass Destruction. in this, it reads, taking claim over the battlefield of the mind. Achieving the kind of victory that was won in the previous story requires discipline, which if you go back, it'll talk about. To get this discipline, the first thing is to know what thoughts qualify to legitimately be in your mind. Amen? You got to know which thoughts legitimately are real and what thoughts are not supposed to be there. They're from the enemy. They were sent to distract you. Let me not get into it. Let me get into what she wrote. Philippians 4 and 8 says, finally, and y'all know this is one of my favorite scriptures, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If your thoughts are not true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, or praiseworthy, do not allow those thoughts to take root in your mind. Oh, my Lord. And let me tell you something. One of the greatest things you can do is start using this scripture to filter through your thoughts. Because sometimes we allow what people say to be their words to be planted implanted into our brain or into our thought process. When we go to buy something, when we go to improve ourselves, or when we make steps or decisions, what that person has to say, it pops up. So it had those words have implanted themselves, that thought has implanted itself into our mindset. That is not good. Now let's read on. The second thing. Wait. Can I read that? Okay. The second thing is to remove the thoughts that should not be in your mind. You have to remove the thoughts that should not be in your mind. Yes, you can remove these thoughts. You shouldn't let anything stay in your mind and think that it has a right to be there that is not a legitimate thought. Again, weigh it against whatsoever things are honest, true, just, pure, lovely, of good report, are praiseworthy, okay? According to 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, we have the power in Jesus Christ to pull down the strongholds Satan tries to erect in our minds and cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, my Lord. Let me just slow that down and break that down, okay? It says, we have the power in Jesus Christ. This is what you need to be saying to yourself right now. I have the power. I have the power. We used to watch a cartoon called He-Man, and he'd raise his sword up and say, I have the power. And this power comes down from the sky and hits his sword and transforms him into somebody else. You need to understand that when you say, I have the power through Jesus Christ, you are transformed into a powerful creature, because you now have Jesus Christ inside of you, and it's him that works on your behalf. My God. Hallelujah. It says the power, you have the power of Jesus to pull down the strongholds of Satan. Glory to God. You have the power. It's within you. Some of us, got to wait to a prayer service. I got to wait to talk to pastor. I got to wait. No, you have the power within you. Come on. To pull them down. To pull that stronghold down that Satan tries to erect in your mind and cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, against what you know of God, against his power, against his might. Come on, hallelujah. Against what the word of God says about you. Come on, you have the power to pull it down. Watch this. And it says, amen, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity. That means to bringing it subject to the power of Christ. The word of God said, try the spirit by the spirit. My God. Hallelujah. I like it. Bring under captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let us break down the divine strategy that God gives us in the above text. It says, number one, you must pull down thoughts that do not qualify. Get that in your spirit. You must pull down thoughts that do not qualify. Yes, it's some thoughts in your mind that do not qualify, that do not have a right to be there. Come on, that does not meet godly standards. Come on. This action denotes an entire demolition and a clearing away and annihilation of something. Okay? Get that in there. You got to annihilate, clear away. Amen. Hallelujah. Demolish. Amen. Different thoughts. It says it also denotes the conquering of opposing forces and hostile petitions. Hostile. opposing forces. First of all, we got to get in our spirit and understand that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is set to destroy every positive thing in your life. He wants to come against anything that God has placed in your life, right to your destiny, right to your calling, right to your family, your finances, and things prospering in your life. He wants to come against. You got to understand that, okay? Get that in your spirit. He's coming to do that. Now watch this. Frangipane said, the pulling down of strongholds begin with repentance. My God. Begins with repentance. When Jesus sent out his disciples, they went out and preached that men should repent. And they were casting out many demons and healing them. Amen. Mark 6, 12 through 13. They were casting out demons and they were healing people. Come on. Watch this. Number two says, you must eradicate strongholds. You must eradicate strongholds. A stronghold is a pattern and idea that governs individuals, nations, and communities. They are mindsets, thought patterns, and processes that cause people to act, react, and respond in a particular manner contrary to the ways of God and a godly lifestyle. My God. Hallelujah. Strongholds are things that you rationalize and justify. So in your mind right now as you listen, you can think of things that you have been justifying and rationalizing. And even me as a pastor, immediately God started showing me different things. We have to understand that none of us are above an attack of the enemy or a stronghold, you know, that has crept or attached itself to us. Different things that people say to us along the way. That's why it's important that we repent daily. Because sometimes we'll allow somebody to come in and demean or undermine different things that God has told us to do or told us about ourselves in our lives. And we'll begin to believe it. We'll begin to walk in a defeatist mindset. Because we have allowed what someone said, what someone spoke, to come in and sit and begin to manifest itself in our life. Oh, they told me that. Oh, they told me. You know, so we have to, first of all, repent. Okay? Watch this. Strongholds are things that, again, that we rationalize and justify. You may say things like, my whole family is like that. I can't help it. I was born like this. This is just the way I am. Or everybody acts and thinks this way. Your rationalization and justification of certain thoughts, behaviors, and attitudes form a stronghold. Strongholds can also be cultural entrenchment. Okay? And some of y'all are going through your mind right now saying, oh, I know this one. Cultural. Well, I'm black. Well, this is how black people do it. This is how black Christian people do it. If people don't understand it, you know, and we justify and rationalize it and make it, my daddy was like this, my mother was like this. Well, this is how we, you know, and before you know it, you set yourself up in a stronghold. You have actually walked yourself into a stronghold, claimed a stronghold, and gave it a bed to sleep in. So you have to be careful what you begin to claim, especially after you become a child of God. You know, some people, for instance, my daddy gambled.
But I don't gamble because I don't claim any of that. I'm talking about my natural father. He gambled. My natural father drunk beer and all of these different things when he was young. An adult, you know. So, I don't say, well, I'm an alcoholic. My dad is an alcoholic. Or I'm a drunk because my dad is, you know, well, he wasn't a drunk, but, you know, I don't submit to any of that. I submit to what God says about me, what the Word says about me. Like it says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things. I'm talking about my life as an individual. A lot of us take on a lot of hereditary things because that's the way of the world. If your mama did it, then you're going to do it. If your daddy did it, then you're going to do it. But that's not my confession. Come on, hallelujah. That's not my confession. Amen? And it should be yours either. So that's why I said we have to repent. We have to repent. Now look at this. You have to understand that God wants to give you a better way of living and operating in the earth realm. All successful deliverance must begin by first removing that which defends the enemy. And speaking of spiritual warfare, let me stop right here. That defends the enemy. In other words, making that excuse for that or rationalizing why that habit is present in your life. That's like saying, go ahead, devil. Devil, you're welcome because my daddy did it. So I guess, you know. No, you have to eradicate that stronghold. You have to demolish it. You have to get rid of it. Come on, clear away it, that stronghold. Annihilate it. I love that word. Glory to God. It says all successful deliverance must begin first by removing that which defends the enemy. And speaking of spiritual warfare, the Apostle Paul enlists the word stronghold to define the spiritual fortresses wherein Satan and his legion hide or protect. Okay? Those strongholds, those spiritual fortresses wherein Satan and his legions hide and are protected. But guess what? They hide in our confession. That's why I tell you, life and death is in the power of the tongue. What are you confessing? What are you saying? And you have to watch what you say. You have to watch what you say. Watch this. These fortresses exist in the thought patterns and ideas that govern individuals and organizations as well as communities and nations. We must not allow the enemy to hide himself or his tactics, amen, within these fortresses. Every arsenal of the enemy must be removed and replaced with the mighty arsenal of the Word of God. Amen. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's Hebrews 4:12. Through deliberate injections of the word, the stronghold of the enemy can be forced out and the things of God can come in and occupy our thought life. And I like this too because you have to understand that any space that you make in your life has to be replaced with something. And a lot of times we pray for God to deliver us from something, or we begin, we know what we need eradicated out of our life, but we haven't even thought of what will replace it, what we can do to replace it. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. So if you know that it's some things in your life that need to be called out and need to be cleared out, but you also need to know that you need to replace those things with the Word of God. If you want lying and deceit out of your life, then you got to replace that with truth. You got to replace that with honesty. Come on, amen. If you want alcohol, that addiction to alcohol and all that addictive spirit eradicated out of your life, cleared away out of your life, then you have to replace it with faithfulness, loyalty. You have to replace it with things out of the Word of God. Hallelujah. You can't just, you can't say, Lord, deliver me, but you got to understand that the enemy is going to come back in a second and see, and if he still can't occupy it, he's going to come back with that, not just what you got delivered from, but even stronger spirits, other spirits. So you have to say, Lord, deliver me, Lord, like you say, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. So I don't just want you to take this ugly, evil spirit out of me. I want you to give me a clean heart. Hallelujah. Welcome, 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 welcome back. I'm sorry, y'all. Listen, my son is in the Marines, and I'm trying to keep up with him. And a call came in, and I had to go ahead and take it. Oh, so we are into our topic today, just to make sure we get it.
My gospel soul.
So we are into our show today, and we are talking about strongholds, getting those strongholds out of our lives, okay? Making sure that when you ask for deliverance, you repent that it's something there to replace it. You have to make sure that it is replaced with something, and that something is the Word of God. The only thing powerful enough to keep a stronghold from coming back and gripping your life is to make sure it's replaced with power, and that power is the Word of God. I have enjoyed my time with you today talking about this. Hopefully next time, praise God, we can get back into it and talk about repentance. Well, the other three things, praise God, in staking claim over the battlefield of the mind. But we can get ready to go into repentance brings a change of mind. And we're using the rules of engagement, the art of strategic prayer, and spiritual warfare. All right? So we love you. We want you to remember that without faith it's impossible to please God, but with God, all things are possible. Who cares? God cares. Keep your eyes on the prize and know that God, amen, is able to do exceedingly and more abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with God, all things are possible. Who cares? God cares. God bless.